functioning within the body. It's been my privilege the last several months, number of months, as y'all recall, that we had a baptismal class, first of all, and went ahead and had the baptism, then we had an instruction class after the baptism, and that was an instruction class for membership. And this morning, Lord willing, we're looking at receiving these young people into the physical church here at Shiloh as members, already having expressed, for them having expressed their desire to be a part of the church here, but most of all, them having expressed their desire to serve Christ, to live for Him, to allow their life to be an open book to you, the rest of the body here. So as I was contemplating that, what all does that mean? What does it mean to function within the body? And when you look in Scripture, you can look, there's several different analogies of when you see the word body. The church is called the Bride of Christ. Us as a congregation here, we could be called the Bride of Christ. We could be called the body of Christ or a part of the body of Christ. We by no means believe this morning that the church at Shiloh is the only one that's going to make it to heaven. We by no means even believe that the Mennonite denomination is the only denomination that's going to make it to heaven. But I trust that each one of you that are here this morning are here, first of all, because you want to be. And if you're here and you have signed up as a member here at Shiloh, it's because you want to be. And that if you're a member here at Shiloh, that the reason you're here is not because your dad wants you here or because your grandpa wants you here or because your dad and your grandpa and their grandpa were all sort of like this. But more so that the reason you're here is because God has called you here. More so the reason that you're here is because right here, right now, is where you feel that you could serve God the best. This is where you feel God is calling you to. That's what I would want you to hope and pray that you would feel this morning as to why you are here. And we have a number of people here this morning that are not members. And I'm not coming against you and saying this message is for you. I'm wanting to come out with a message to help us understand what it really means to be a member. What are some of the benefits of being a member, of being called a member of a particular body? And I think maybe sometimes we misunderstand the term. As times change, you know, words even change. And I'm wondering this morning if a better word to use, instead of having a membership role, have a participation role. Change it from membership to participation. Because, again, as a member, when you're a member of something, when you're a member of the country club, when you're a member of some other club, you're a member there, and being you're a member there, you are entitled to certain privileges. And in the church, as being a member of a church, that can sort of carry over that it's because that I am a member, therefore I should be allowed to have certain privileges, or I should be able to have certain things that make my life easier and that make my life more enjoyable for my own self. But as Christ would have alluded to it many times in Scripture, that we as a part of His body, we as a part of the kingdom of God, our life consists of self-sacrifice, does it not? But we don't like to think of that. So as we become a participant in the church, I would like to think of more of the fact it's something that we become a part of in order that I can give more of myself away. rather than looking at it to see, well, what benefit would it be? What thing could I receive from that? And I would just like to say this morning also that it's been great working with these six students. And this morning, Trent and Jody, Willie will not be here with us because of Norma and Jared are down with her father and so on. So we'll have to do them at a later time. But we decided to go ahead with the other four this morning. But it has been a real privilege to deal with these young people and to see their desire and to see them grow in Christ and to even see them talk. When I first started the class, I couldn't get a lot out of them as far as them conversing with me. But as we built the relationship, it was interesting to see how they were feeling a little bit more free to speak and to ask questions. And that encourages me this morning to see that we have young people who have a desire to live for Christ. And in our church here this morning, as I look out amongst y'all, I see a lot of young people. I hardly see any old people. Right, Walter? but we are, as churches go, as a whole, we are a young church. And what we have here this morning with all you young people is something that a lot of churches would give an arm and a leg for, as it were. So let's thank God for the way He has blessed us, because He really has. Rick Warren made a statement, and I'm not here with him on this statement, but I'm going to read it to you just in order that at least to shock you and let you deal with it and to see what you think as I go through the message. And I hope that after I read this that you won't just turn me off and then not hear anything else that's said this morning. But Rick Warren said that the difference between an attender and a member is the difference between living together and getting married. He says this, that a lot of people want to date the church, but they don't want to get married. Then he says, this is spiritual adultery. Now, I'm not there this morning making that kind of a statement. I'm just telling you, this is something that when I read it, it was like, wow, well, that's, at the very least, it's something to think about. What all he means in the fact of something being spiritual adultery. And I by no means agree with everything that Rick Warren advocates. But he does have some good things that he does and has done. Okay. We want to look this morning at maybe some reasons as to why would I even consider becoming a part of a church? Why would I even consider joining up with a body? And there's been much debate about it. You know, in Scripture, you know, people would say, well, you don't find that there's actually a membership in Scripture, in the New Testament teaching. And it's true that it's hard to just say, this is the way church membership was done, this is the way the body did. But we do have a lot of instances and a lot of examples in the church. And I think when you would look at the word church in the Bible, it would always, most always mean the local church. And at the very least, the local church was a fellowship of followers of Jesus Christ in a particular area. And from looking in Acts and so on and some of the other New Testament scriptures, we know that they got together, they fellowshiped, they broke bread together and so on. And so there is the idea of the different churches. You know, Revelation talks about the seven churches and the different things that God had against each one of those churches, some of the things that they were failing in. And also, in the New Testament, in Timothy, it talks about, Paul addresses the fact of putting widows on a list and to not do it before the age of 60. So, again, there was some kind of structure if there was going to be some kind of a list. Matthew 18, we all know that passage very well, talks about going to an erring one of my brothers who is in sin or I perceive might be living in sin. And I would go to him first and to find out what's going on and then to make sure of what's happening here and try to bring resolution. And if not, then Matthew 18 would say to then go and take another one or two with you, and so on, and following that plan. So again, who is this erring brother that I'm responsible for to go to if there's not a local church, if there's not a local body that I'm a part of? Then also it talks, Paul talks about in Corinthians where there was sexual immorality going on. It said where a man actually was either with having a relationship with, and it was an illicit affair. And it was said to put away that person from among you. How would you conduct any of that except that you have a local body that you're responsible to as a local church? Because we don't have to be real observant before we realize that there is a lot of that going on in the world all around us, and even in the Christian, quote, Christian world. But is it our responsibility to find every case? Well, we can't, because time would not allow it. But as you break it down in the local churches, and it says to not have anything to do with that person, and that would mean to put them out as a part of the body of that local church. Otherwise, you can't make sense out of the Scripture. And in 1 Corinthians 5:4, it says, I think there it talks about when you gather together. Well, who is it talking about? Is it again talking about the whole Christian church as a whole? Or is it talking about the local body? And again, it would very much lend itself to someone who is a part of the local body. And then the question comes up, well, how do you know who is the church? Who gets the privilege or the responsibility, whichever way you want to look at it, to vote on issues in the local body? How do you determine who is a part of it? Is it someone who comes once a year? Is it someone who comes twice a year? Is it? How do you determine that? So, again, there's something in Scripture that very much lends itself to establishing a local body in the church. And then in Scripture, we're also commanded as leaders to be shepherds over our flock. And if we take that analogy of the actual sheep and an actual shepherd, as I understand it, a shepherd was known by his sheep by his voice. There could be all the sheep in a big field, and the shepherd could call and make a certain sound, and only the sheep that were a part of his flock would pay any attention to him. And again, that makes a lot of sense in the fact that we as leaders, we cannot be responsible for every other believer that's in all the world, or that's in all the United States, or that's in all of South Carolina, or that's even all in Abbeville County, or that's even all in Due West. Follow what I'm saying? So somewhere we have to understand that there's got to be somebody in a local area, in a local church, where we know what our responsibilities are as leaders. That, yeah, there's other things and there's other needs out amongst us and around about us, but we can't meet all those needs. And you as people can look and see needs, but you can't meet every need. There's lots of people that need money, that need funds, but you can't fund everyone. And so what you need to do is to determine what God is calling you to as an individual. Okay, I think there's enough said on that. What I want to do is go to Galatians 6, starting with verse 1. And in this chapter here, it's talking about, first of all, he's talking about somebody that's living in sin, caught in a sin. And then down in verse 10, then he talks about looking out for those around us. Let's read there, Galatians 6, verse 1. It says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted." So here he says, brothers, if you see someone that's caught in a sin, you go and restore. It doesn't say, brothers, if you see someone that is caught in a sin, make a phone call and call one of the ministers. But so often, that's sort of been the way it's been. But each one of you, as a believer, and being a part of a local body, it's up to you to go to an erring brother. Then in verse 2, he says, to carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Again, being a member or being a participant. A participant would much more lend itself to this verse here. In other words, we are to help each other along. I'm in this thing to see what I can do for my brothers and my sisters. I'm not in it to see what I can gain for myself. If there's some benefit that I gain, even over top of that, that's great. We'll thank God and we'll count it as a blessing from God. But we are to look out for the needs of each other. If anyone thinks he is something, verse 3, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. There's no one in this audience this morning, there's no one in the world around us that is big enough and strong enough and stout enough that they can live their life on their own, that they don't need the input of other friends, of other believers, to input into their life. And to even sometimes be bold and even sometimes to be blunt with them in love and say, you know, I think you're wrong in this area. We all need that. And as a part of a body, when you commit to being a part of a body, you're actually also saying that I open my life to you. I welcome that. And there's none of us here this morning that likes to be criticized, but we all do need it sometimes. Sometimes some of us need it more than others. We need to recognize that other people, what other people see in us, even though we don't see it, we have to recognize that, you know what? If this person said it about me, and this person said it, and this person said it, and I don't see it, at some point you have to come to a conclusion that all these people are not just against you, but that they love you, and that there is something that I need to look at in my life. That's the beauty of being a part of the church. It says, each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. And again, each one of us are in different phases of life. We are all at different places as we are walking down this road. And it says, for each one should carry his own load. Well, it sounds almost like a contradictory statement, but I believe what he's saying is that we are responsible. God is going to hold us accountable for our life. We have to decide what we're going to do with our life. And God will hold us accountable. We can't come to judgment day and blame someone else for the way that I've lived my life or the way that I haven't lived my life. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And again, my burden this morning is, brothers and sisters, is that we as young people, we as youth, we as young married, we as middle-aged, that we recognize that we will reap what we sow. And my burden is this morning is that so often life goes on. And I look at myself, I'm like, I'm almost 50 years old. Where did the years go? You look back and it's like, well, I thought I had plenty of time. But yet, this morning, as y'all are sitting here looking at me, the young people are looking at me as an old man. Right? If the young people are anything like they were when I was young, a 50-year-old person is a pretty old man. What are you doing this morning, brothers and sisters? What are you doing to set the example? What are you sowing in your fields this morning? Your children, you think, well, they're just young, and at some point I'm going to make some changes. The chance to change is not at some point. The chance to change is right now. That we reap what we sow, and that reaping comes so much quicker than what any of us can ever imagine. It goes on to say, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will gain a harvest if we do not give up. So why do we do what we do? It's so that we can reap a harvest. Each one of us here, brothers and sisters, we will reap a harvest of something. But it's up to you what that harvest is going to be. And as I look out amongst you, I could look and I could say, well, you've experienced this in your life, and you've experienced this in your life, and you've had this turn back in your life, you've had this turn back in your life, you've had this bad experience. Therefore, I understand why you do the way you do. Life did not treat you fair. Life did not treat you fair. Life didn't treat me fair. But we come back to Scripture, and the Bible says that we will reap what we sow. It's not even important for us, as much as we'd like to, but it's not important for us to understand why life deals out to me the way it does, or why life has dealt itself out to you the way it has. The important thing for us to understand is that, first of all, we are God's. We are completely in His care. We're not God's. We are God's people. Make sure you understand that. And that whatever He brings into our life, though we understand it or we don't understand it, we will still honor and glorify God. And we do these things so that we can reap a good harvest. So that as we get old, that we can look back and we can see that the kingdom of God has been increased because of my life. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, to especially those who belong to the family of believers. Right there we have a scripture that kind of narrows it down as to who we are to look out for. The Bible says we're supposed to do good to all people. If it would just have the last part that we do good to those who are the household of faith, as I think King James says, then that would mean that any relationship we have with someone who's not a believer or who we perceive as not a believer, we have no responsibility to be any kind of a witness to that person. But it says we are to do good to all people. But when it comes down to it, you've got to make a choice. Take care of the believers that are around you. If you've got to make a choice, take care of those of the household of faith. And then even sometimes you can't help everyone. And you can't. But then we keep narrowing it down. And it comes down that we look out for those that are a part of our family, of our church family. That's part of the blessing of being associated and being tied in and being knit in with a local body. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those of the household of faith, those of the family of believers. Watch out. Be on the lookout for the needs. Ask questions and to find out how things are going in other people's lives. So often we think, well, I know something's going on in his life or in her life, but I really don't know what to do about it. That's okay. Because probably you won't need to do anything about it anyhow. And probably you possibly can't do anything about it. But just the fact that you thought about it to ask can mean so much. Because when you're in the depth of a trial, when you're in the depth of despair, it can feel like no one notices. It can feel like no one cares. And just the fact that you would ask the question, just the fact that you'd make that 2-minute phone call can make all the difference in the world, in the life of someone. I had to think of what a rock does, and then Christ is our rock. But as you take a rock and throw it into the water, what does it do? It causes ripples. And those ripples cause ripples, which cause ripples, which cause ripples. And which one of the ripples are most affected by that rock? Isn't those that are on the closest to the inner circle? And I think that's how it is with us. The closer that we can get to that inner circle with Christ being the head, it doesn't mean that these ripples that are way out here, you know, 10 ripples out or 20 ripples out, doesn't mean that those people are not believers. They might be, they might not be. But it's not up to us to judge that. We need to go where God wants us to go. We need to be that person that God wants us to be. We need to set the example for those that are around us. And then as opportunity avails itself, we can reach out and get out to those further ripples. But Christ has got to be our center theme and our center focus. We need to do what He calls us to do. We can't look out here and say, well, this person here, I don't see how they can be a Christian. God might have a calling on their life in a different area than what He's calling you. But you, brother, you, sister, need to go and to follow that calling that the Holy Spirit, as Scripture affirms it, you need to follow that as the Holy Spirit leads you. You know, we can judge each other. We can pass judgments, but it doesn't mean that just because I said that this person out here is wrong, doesn't mean they're wrong. If I say they're right, it doesn't necessarily mean they're right. It just means that I had an opinion. But what we base on God's Word. And so often, we get ourselves into situations, we get ourselves into areas where we feel, what are we going to do? When actually it's not up to you to decide that. It's not an area that you need to concern yourself with. But you need to figure out where it is that Christ wants you and then make and be effective right in that area and then spread out from there. God never designed any of us to be islands. We cannot operate as individuals out by ourselves. That is not the way God intended it to be. But that we need each other. We need everyone in the body, from the one who's 8 years old to the one that's 80 years old. We need each other. That's what God and how He wants us to live. He wants us to dwell together in unity. Doesn't mean that we all think exactly the same. But as we give and take, we have our opinions. But as a body, and it works the same way in a family situation, we can't always do everything the way I want in a family situation. But you get together and you talk about it and you figure out which is the best solution. And then you go with that. So as we think this morning of the body, what it means, what a privilege it is to be a part of the body. Let's think about it as to how we can bless others, what we can do in our life to be a blessing to those around us. And whatever that is, if we can be a greater blessing in a certain way, let's do that as the Holy Spirit leads us. Okay, I think what we'll go ahead and do is we'll have the... I've asked the fathers to come up with their children, so I think we'll just have everyone come up here this morning, the dads and the young people. Y'all may come up at this point. And I think what we'll do maybe is we'll do Marlon with Andrew and Travis first, so... Y'all can go ahead, and if you have a scripture to read, you go ahead and read that. And then if you've got your covenant, go ahead and sign it also. So Andrew.
My favorite verse is Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is a time for everything, and a season for every action under heaven. And I just like that verse just for what it says. And it is my desire to become a member of this church.
I'm going to read one of my favorite verses. It's Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and I'm glad for this verse because I know whatever I do, God's always there.
Let's go ahead and sign your covenant while you're up here.
Share whatever they want to for their children too. Whatever they have on their mind, I gave them that freedom. So we'll see what they have.
Yeah, it kind of excites me to see, you know, my two youngest boys to be a member of the church. I had to think sitting there is that, you know, when children are little, you're teaching them. And you think, man, are they getting what you're saying? They just don't listen. But it don't take long. You'll have children bigger than you. It don't take long. Don't see how long ago they was down here knee high. But it excites me to see that they are willing to be a member of the church and not having to, you know, force them to do it or twist their arm, whatnot. It was just something they wanted to do, so definitely gives me great joy in that.
Well, I guess my girls are kind of shy. I don't know. I think they got it from me, but I don't know, Jerry Sherrod, he made a statement there about time and how short it is. And I thought about all the young children I see sitting back here in their mommy's laps or daddy's laps. They're just born. And you think, man, I got all the time in the world. But I want to tell you something. This is my youngest. She's 13. She's a teenager. I didn't have time. Time flies. The years, somehow they go by. And looking back, man, I can't figure out where them years are. Somehow they slip by. And I'll confess, my two oldest children, I thought I had time. I was young too. And there's a pretty big gap between my two oldest and my two youngest. And by the time my two youngest ones came around, I was getting to the age where I realized time goes by real quick. The influence I can have on my children are pretty much gone. But I want to say it's been a great joy to see Courtney. She accepted Christ. And then to see her desire to be baptized. And now her desire to become a part of the body here. You know, we spend all them years teaching and training. And we teach them the values that we believe the way I believe. That's what we teach our children, them values. And then to see them turn around and sign that covenant and to fill it out and say, yeah, I believe. Those are the values we try to teach our children. And to see them do that, it's a joyful occasion. And I want to say to Courtney and to the rest of the young class, God bless you for making this choice while you were so young. I wasn't that young. But God wants the very best. And when you're young and you give your life to Christ, you're giving him your very best. Your whole life is ahead of you. Y'all to serve him. So God bless y'all.
Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them upon the table of your heart. Then you will find you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. And my desire is to keep God's commandments and prosper and have a good... And find favor with God, whether I'm here at Shiloh or anywhere else out in the world.
This is my son. And despite me, he's turning out to be a pretty good young man. I had to think when Amos was talking. There used to be a song years ago about time. I can't sing it, but it says time is like sand as it slips through your fingers. Something like that. I don't think I have it. But that's what it is, people. Young people with young children. You're going to blink and you'll be standing up here where I am. I'm happy. I was thrilled when he accepted the Lord and became baptized. I'm happy that he's joining the church. I don't know that, however. I don't think he'll always be here because I think God has a calling on his life. I appreciate the way that he can very easily move among other cultures and communicate. So I think God has a calling on his life that's going to take him away from here. And I'm thrilled for that, too, although it is hard. One of the hardest things as a parent is when you come to this point, when your children are getting to this point, is letting that rope out and start letting them go. But I know he's in good hands because he's in the Lord's hands, and Mitchell, bless you as you serve the Lord.
God bless you, Andrew, as you look forward and being a part of Shiloh. And I just give that to you. It's a book that you can claim God's promises. Travis, God bless you also as you continue to serve God and as you serve him here at Shiloh. Bless you. Mitchell, God bless you as you're now a part of the congregation here at Shiloh and use that to claim God's promises when you have questions. And Courtney also, God bless you and may you continue to serve him faithfully. Let's give each one of these young people a hand this morning. Amen. Thank you. Y'all may be seated. Okay, does anyone have anything to share, any word of encouragement yet they'd want to give out to anyone, something that's really on your mind before we close? If you do, I'll give you that opportunity too this morning. Thank you, dads, for sharing and for participating in this. That means a lot to your children too. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, would you continue to work in and through us? Would you continue to mold us? Even, Father, in the times that it hurts, that it pains us to be formed and to be shaped. But God, we want to recognize you as our Lord, as our God, as our King Supreme. Be with us as we continue on this journey of life. Help us, Lord, to serve you with our whole heart. And I pray your special blessing upon each one of these young people as they have committed their life, first of all, to you, and also have committed their life to being a part of Shiloh for such a time as this. God, would you help us that we could encourage these young people, that we would never do anything that would draw them away, but much more, we would do and say those things which would draw them closer to you. Thank you again for guiding us. Thank you for being with us this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.